We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Oh, man. Hour three is underway. Robin Deese on the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate. What's up, Upstate? Good to be with you. Philly fans in an uproar now because on his show Sunday night, John Oliver on Last Week Tonight called Philly sports fans a horde of inhuman monsters, quote unquote.
Is he wrong, though?
Nope.
No.
Nope. There are only a few, and I just put this on Twitter, which you can follow us on all of our platforms, at ESPN Upstate, at ESPN Upstate. I am at the Rob Brown Show. He's at Diesel on Radio. There are only three fan bases that came to mind initially. There may be more, but three fan bases that came to mind initially that are so over the top that I will not go to or back to their stadiums. I have been to one Philly game in Philadelphia years ago, and I have been to a couple of Eagles versus Saints games down in New Orleans, and I will never go to another Eagles games. Philly fans are the worst. There is not a more inappropriately named city than the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA. There is not a drop of love in that city. It is just all rage and anger all the time. Sorry, Philly fans here in the upstate. You know it's true. Philly fans are the worst. I went to a Philly v. Saints game 2006, 7, 8-ish, right? In New Orleans. And if you ever go to a Saints game in NOLA, the tailgate parties, one of the reasons I love and am proud to be a Saints fan is that if you're a college football fan, the Saints should be your NFL team. They are the most college-like atmosphere in the NFL, right? The tailgates are college-like. There are live bands everywhere. The tailgate goes hard around that stadium. It is just it's a college football environment around an NFL team. The Philadelphia Eagles were the only team that's ever come to New Orleans and made me regret going to the pregame festivities around the Superdome before a game. They were the worst. They are trashy, and I don't mean like in the way they act, although that's also true. They left stuff everywhere. The parking lot was a disaster. People were hammered. There was one guy, Diesel, and I don't know why I found it so particularly obnoxious, but there was one guy doing circles around the Superdome in this giant RV that he had completely vinyl wrapped in Eagles gear, right? The logo, players' faces, whatever. And he was playing the theme to Rocky over and over and over and over and over again. And so what was happening, you'd be in this parking lot, and about every 7 to 12 minutes, you'd hear, bum, 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 bum. And I thought to myself, is that it? Is that all you have in Philly? You have Rocky? That's what you came down here for a football game, and every 6 to 12 minutes, you are going to make me listen to 30 seconds of the Rocky theme song, then disappear for 6 to 12 minutes, and then come back and make me listen to 30 seconds of the Rocky theme song. And the best part was hanging out of the windows of this RV were 7 or 8 Eagles fans who were just screaming, bleep you, Saints, bleep you this, flipping off families, man. flipping off kids with Saints jerseys. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. So, I want you to text me, who is the worst sports fan base that you have ever been around? Who was the worst sports fan base? Mine is easily the Eagles. And there is one college team that matches them, Diesel. The Miami Hurricanes. I went to a Miami Hurricanes game in 2006 down in Miami. And I have never in my life been as disgusted as I was at a college football game with the Miami Hurricanes fans. Absolutely disgusting. I went to multiple Miami games, home and away. When their fans come to your stadium, they are just straight up, what's the word? Ratchet. Just straight up ratchet, as the kids say. They will stand in places they're not supposed to stand. They will trash your campus, and they will be obnoxious the entire time. And I'm not talking fun obnoxious, right? There are colleges that fans are fun obnoxious. LSU fans are fun obnoxious. West Virginia fans are fun obnoxious. Hell, Alabama fans are fun obnoxious. You can screw with them and it's fun. Miami fans, if you screw with them, want to fist fight you immediately on the spot. Same with the Eagles. Those two fan bases, I cannot stand. I will never again go to Lincoln Financial in Philly. I will never again go to the Hard Rock in Coral Gables / Miami. Will never happen. Those two schools, programs, one pro, one college, those two programs are flat out obnoxious fans. Not fun, not, oh, you know, they're the Eagles fans. You'll learn to deal with them. They are just obnoxious. It was awful. They are they're just trash, man. I'm sorry, Philly Eagles fans. This is one of those moments that I'm going to pick a small fan base of people in the area, and they're just gonna hate me forever no matter what I do, what I say, and how good the show is. Philly fans, I will never go to Lincoln Financial again. I've done it. It was miserable. I hated it. It was awful. Miami fans, I have gone to games at Coral Gables. Granted, it was in the old Orange Bowl. The only good thing about Miami playing at Hard Rock Stadium is that Miami fans don't go. So you can go to a Miami game there, and there's only like 10,000 fans in attendance in an NFL stadium. So I'm totally fine with that. But man, they are awful. It was terrible. And I will never go back to Miami. I will never go back to Philadelphia. Text line 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so it filters to us. ESPN, U of SC, Georgia versus South Carolina, supported Georgia with my brother. I am a Clemson fan. We left early because we were getting bad. They were calling us all kinds of names, complete trash, or as you said, ratchet. I have not heard that legacy about South Carolina fans. I have not heard that South Carolina is a bad place to go watch a game as an away fan. You ever been there, Diesel? You been to Columbia for a game yet?
Yeah, I've been to two, but I was in the media booth for both, so I can't really say that it's a completely different thing.
I am ready for college football to start, because that was another one of the things, is we are in the midst of so many different colleges and universities within, you know, 4, 5, 6 driving hours of us here, that over the next handful of years, I'm going to go see football games at Clemson, at South Carolina, at Furman, at Wofford. I'm going to go to the Citadel. I'm going to go to College of Charleston. I'm going to go up into the Carolinas. I'm going to go up to Wake and Duke and all these other NC State. That's been a big thing for me. That's been a thing I've wanted to do. And I've not heard that legacy out of South Carolina. I want to go to a game there and experience it, both as an away fan and as just a neutral observer, right? I had heard horror stories about Alabama. I went there as a neutral fan. They were playing Mississippi State. I went there. I got a buddy some field passes one year for a bachelor party. We had a blast. We had a great time. And yes, the Alabama fans were obnoxious, but they weren't the like mean antagonistic obnoxious. They were just kind of fun and goofy and whatever. And I loved it. I had a great time. Same with Notre Dame. I got told Notre Dame fans were obnoxious. I went to a Notre Dame game. My school was playing Notre Dame in 2004, three, somewhere in that era. I went to a Notre Dame game. The Notre Dame fans were as kind and gracious as ever. They gave you hell during the game, but they were as kind and gracious as I have ever been around. I got offered tours of the facility. I wasn't there in radio. I was there as a college kid. Tours of the stadium, tours of the campus. I got invited to tailgate parties. There's no fraternities or sororities at Notre Dame. Instead, they all group up based on the dorms they're in. I got invited to dorm parties. It was phenomenal. I had a blast in South Bend, Indiana. It was great. At ESPN, best is LSU. Sat in LSU section for Georgia-LSU night game. Ex-wife's uncle was an LSU fan about 3 euros up, and I had a blast. Ex-wife and I wore all Georgia. I was covered in bourbon, and yes, they shared. Such a fun fan base. I have been to multiple LSU games in Baton Rouge, Red Stick. And I will tell you, LSU is another fan base. They will give you hell all game long. For 3.5 hours, you are going to get it. But it's in a fun way. They mess with. Yes, there are bad apples in every group. But for the most part, LSU fans are a lot of fun. They have fun with you, and at the end of the game, they're going to invite you to the tailgate to take home some leftover boudin. That's just how it works. Miami's not that way. Miami gives you hell, and if you give them hell back, they fight you or they shank you because they all carry prison shanks. I'm convinced of that. I have not heard that about South Carolina, but I appreciate the text to everybody. Text me in 71307. What's your worst game day experience? As a matter of fact, we may even bring... You know what? Hang on to that. I'm going to save that. We're going to do that tomorrow. What's your worst in-game experience from a fan's perspective? Worst fans, worst stadium, whatever it is you want it to be. Tomorrow, we will talk, what is your worst in-game experience? I'll give you some of my best and worst tomorrow on the broadcast. Take a break. When we come back, we've got a few more things to get into as we roll towards the end of the show, including a huge, huge development in the NFL today. Actually, two of them that we will talk about. And one sporting event actually drew more numbers this weekend than the finale of The Last Dance. Which live event did that? I'll tell you about that. Coming up at 3:20 today, Mark Ryan will have the man who claims to be the guy who made the pizza that gave MJ food poisoning that was a feature of The Last Dance. We'll talk about that as well as Mark Ryan has the biggest get in sports today on Offsides with Mark Ryan at 3:20. Make sure you set a reminder to be there for that. Back after this on The Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, one of the beautiful things about being the newest resident of Greenville and the upstate area is learning more about the schools and the universities around here that I'm going to be working with over the next few years. Here's a text that just came in from a different number, by the way. I have had two different South Carolina texts followed by this one, all from different numbers. At ESPN, Rob, dude, you know it's going to be a legit take when the take starts with dude, right? If you start any sentence by looking somebody in the eyes and going, dude, whatever you're about to say is mucho importante.
What was that saying the other day when, oh, I've done the research.
I've
done the research, and I'm telling you that blah, 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 blah.
Dude. At ESPN, Rob, dude. U of SC is the worst in college football. They have the most ejected fans in all of college football. Mark did a segment on just that. So I got curious, and I went and looked. And granted, this is an old number, but not like centuries old. In 2016, and I know you've heard this before, but it fascinates me, so I want to say it out loud just to make sure the numbers go right with me. In the Southeastern Conference in 2016, three schools made the top 10 list of most ejected fans in a game. Florida had 150 ejections all season long, right? Georgia had 191 ejections over the course of the 2016 season. Mm-hmm. South Carolina had 400, wait, not just 400, 496.
Wow.
Almost 500 people got booted, which means, assuming they played, let's say, seven home games, most teams, like most of the bigger schools play like either 6-6 or, excuse me, if they play like 7-5 or 6-6 home games, right? You are looking at ballparking like 80-ish to 90-ish fans per game getting the boot from South Carolina. You doubled up and a half Georgia. You doubled up Florida's entire season and added another. You had three times plus as many fans ejected from Florida. And I'll tell you something about Florida, because I've been to a handful of games down in Gainesville too. Florida fans are rowdy, y'all. Florida fans are rowdy. Florida fans get that jorts thing made about them. I don't know if you've ever been to Gainesville, Georgia, or Gainesville, Florida, excuse me. Gainesville, Florida is in the middle of nowhere. It is like Gainesville itself is a nice little city, but it is just in the middle of nowhere. There's an old joke about how do you get to Gainesville? You drive east till you smell it. You drive south till you step in it. Right? That's Gainesville. They get a little rowdy. They like to pour it on a little bit. And they tend to get a little testy when they're in full game mode there in the swamp at Ben Hill Griffin. Okay? You doubled Florida, then added another season of ejected fans on top of that, and then added another 46 fans ejected just for fun.
Maybe South Carolina just has the best don't take no crap off of nobody in stadium security force.
First off, I respect the Cool Runnings reference, and I'm very proud of you for working a Cool Runnings reference onto the show. And I need you to know that.
Feel the rhythm, feel the ride, get on up. It's bobsled time.
I see pride. I see power. I see a badass mother who don't take
no crap off of
there
no one.
There it is. Love it. Love it. Cool Runnings.
How about
FTW?
I draw a line down the middle of your head and make it look
make
like
it
a
look
butt.
Like a
We can do this all day. Who thought in 2020 that we'd be on the radio quoting Cool Runnings?
Oh, not me. One of the best sports movies of all time. It never gets on the list. Never gets on the list. John Candy is a goat. That entire cast killed that movie. And to this day, if there's a better comedic relief than Sanka, I don't know who it is.
Sanka, you can go to the bathroom now.
Too late. Want to kiss my lucky egg? All right. I don't know how we went from South Carolina has rowdy fans to Cool Runnings reference for 5 minutes, but what the hell? We live a little on the
Rob
Brown Show.
You took us here, and I'm fine with it. You grabbed the wheel and steered off course.
Pulled the cables, I believe, would be the reference you were looking for there. Yep.
Respect to the man, Irv Blitzen.
All hail, coach! So there's that. Mama said, ESPN, Rob, Mama says they so angry because they in the armpit of the South. That's yeah, the Big Bend of Florida is not exactly a tourist destination. Everything from Gainesville up to Jacksonville and over to Tallahassee, you can skip it. You can skip it. You ain't missing nothing. Just FTR for the record. Anyway, so there you go. Here's a little thing I wanted to get for you as we head towards the end of the broadcast. So over the weekend, and I think this is a illustration of just how desperate we are for live sports. The Last Dance finale was on Sunday evening. 5.6 and some change million viewers. That's actually a pretty impressive number, especially considering it doesn't start till 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right? That's a fairly impressive number. You know what event over the weekend turned more viewers than The Last Dance in sports? The NASCAR race at Darlington. Live NASCAR racing outdid The Last Dance finale, which has been, by the way, if you flip on to ESPN, radio, television, anywhere, it has been the talk of the town. Flip on to SportsCenter today and count the Michael Jordan-inspired number of segments that they do. The correct answer is there's a lot of them. Hell, it was so big that despite being an ESPN source, go to Fox Sports or CBS Sports or ABC Sports or Yahoo Sports or Yard Barker or any of the other sporting agencies, and do you know what has been the feature of their website for the past 5 weeks? The Longest Dance. The Last Dance. The Last Dance has been the feature. Now, NASCAR, and as somebody who loves NASCAR, I'll be watching Xfinity Racing tonight. I'll be watching Cup Racing tomorrow. As somebody who loves NASCAR, I also acknowledge, let's be real, NASCAR is kind of a niche sport, right? Like, the NASCAR audience is pretty built in. You don't really spend a lot of time in NASCAR trying to get new fans into it. I mean, you'd like to. You try to grab younger viewers. But it's a pretty niche sport. That niche sport over the weekend outdid the Michael Jordan documentary. And if there is a figure that has more national appeal than 23, I don't know who it is. Like, ever. Has there ever been an athlete that has had more national attention than Michael Jordan? Tiger Woods, I would think, got close, but golf doesn't really resonate with everybody. Michael Phelps maybe did for one summer, right? For like a month. Michael Phelps might have been on that radar. But outside of that, there is no athlete that had the attention of the nation like Michael Jordan, and NASCAR outdrew Michael Jordan on Sunday. But wait, NASCAR was in the middle of the day. Yeah, on a Sunday. On a Sunday. And it's NASCAR. It's a niche sport. And it outdrew The Last Dance. That's how much we want live sports back. When we come back, two major developing stories coming out of the NFL. I will tell you what they are when we return. Also, our Senior Sports Spotlight program continues. We had two phenomenal interviews today. Hartley Myers, Lawrence Scott, both of those young athletes joined us on the broadcast. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Mark Ryan has our next installment of our Senior Sports Spotlight. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Stick around. It's the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. Two huge breaking stories out of the National Football. You want to do a Berman? Get a Berman there, Boomer.
I can't do it.
Try it.
It hurts.
It hurts. The National Football League. You're not wrong. It does. It takes something out of you. If I was a cell phone, doing the Chris Berman would drop my battery life like 3% on one click. Two big stories out of the NFL today. Number one, there has been talk about the NFL enhancing the Rooney Rule and basically creating a situation where if an NFL team is going to be adding a new head coach, they would be required to interview two external minority candidates for head coaching openings and at least one minority candidate for any coordinator job. The new addition to the Rooney Rule would also require teams to interview one external minority candidate for senior football operations and general manager jobs. And teams and the NFL league office would also have to include minorities and or female applicants for senior level positions, including club president jobs moving forward. That Rooney Rule addition has been tabled by the owners as of today, not taken off of it, but just pushed forward to a new date. Here's the thing about the Rooney Rule. I think the Rooney Rule is one of those things great in concept, flawed in execution, right? Like the idea of the Rooney Rule and its goal, its premise is a very good one. Minorities are underrepresented in the highest ranks of the NFL. There are, of 32 teams, there are only four minority coaches. I have no problem with the concept, with the idea, with the premise of the Rooney Rule, but the execution is bad, right? The Rooney Rule itself isn't going to fix anything. Because if you know who you want to hire, and most NFL staffs, when they decide to move forward with the head coach, they got a pretty good idea of who it is that they want, right? So if you know you are going to hire, say, hypothetically, Matt Rule, if you know you are going to hypothetically bring Matt Rule into the discussion, you may very well interview a minority external candidate, but it doesn't, you're not going to bring him in. And there's been a handful of players and coaches, minority handful of coaches and players who have stepped out and said, this ain't it. We definitely want the change, but this ain't it. And this is one of those times that I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a better solution. I just recognize that there is a problem, right? I hear this all the time. Don't complain if you don't have a better solution. No, that's not really how it works, right? I don't have to be a five-star chef to recognize dinner is burnt. Does that make sense, right? If you hand me a burnt steak and I say, this steak is burnt, the correct response isn't, well, unless you're going to tell me how to cook it better. I'm not. I'm just going to say, don't. Whatever you did is the wrong thing. I don't have a better solution. I don't know what a solution would be. I don't know if there is a solution to create a situation where you could more easily get more minority candidates involved. I just know that the Rooney Rule as it is flawed. The other big discussion that has come out today of the National Football League is that the NFL is looking at prototype masks that players would be able to wear under their helmets as they actually play football. This, I think, is a good idea. Not because I think the players are going to be happy about it. I promise you, you will have a handful of players who go, no worries, I'll wear the mask. And a much louder percentage of players who are going to say, no, man, I can't play with a mask on. What's wrong with you? I can't play with a mask on. The NFL is looking at prototypes that would be made of the same material that the N95 mask is made of, or that the surgical mask that surgeons wear when they go into surgery wear. Those two are kind of the basis for it. But the NFL is putting resources into developing a mask that would be lightweight. It would be easy breathing for players, but could be worn under the helmet so that they could play. And here's the only place I come down on this, right? I don't care how you feel about masks. Oh, I don't want to wear them. They restrict my freedom. Everybody should wear them and be forced to wear them to keep us safe. I don't care which side of that argument you come down on. Here's where I come down. Whatever it takes to get sports played, I'm in favor of that thing. Okay? If there's no fans in the stadiums, so be it. If we have to change the way some things happen in games, so be it. Yes, I said the other day, baseball, one of the rules in baseball is that they are encouraging infielders to stay away from base runners. To the point that people are concerned that first baseman won't be able to stay on first to hold a runner, which means that baseball runners can get bigger leads, right? Okay, I hate that idea. I think it sucks. I think it makes the game worse. But if you tell me, you have two options, Rob. Baseball, where first baseman can't stay on the bag, third baseman can't stay on the bag to hold runners, or no baseball at all, guess which one I'm picking, Diesel? Want to take a stab at it?
Or just say don't steal bases.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever the and that, again, that would also play
like,
suck.
It's like softball. Softball, right. You can't get leadoffs. Just play it like that.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I would hate it and that would suck. But I would take that before I took no baseball at all for a season, right? Like hands down, I would take that over no baseball. If these guys have to suck it up and wear a mask because that is the one thing that the NFL demands that they do in order to get on the field and play this fall, do it. And I would also say do it because if that takes a step forward in the playing of the NFL, that means it could take a step forward in the playing of college football as well, right? That would be a big step forward. So I don't know. It's an interesting discussion to have. Because whether or not you're in favor of mask, if the NFL says, hey, in order to limit liability, we have developed or we have worked with scientists to develop this mask that you can wear under your helmet. It will not impact your breathing. You can wear it under your helmet and play the game without spreading the COVID-19 inside of a huddle or inside of a scrum for the football. Why the hell would you be against that? Why would you say that's not okay if it's going to give us football? It makes zero sense to me. That's a big development, and if they can push it forward, if they can make that happen, I am all in. I am in favor. Final break of the show comes out now. When we come back, Diesel guides us through the world of Twitter trending topics. We'll find out what it is y'all are talking about in the Upstate. I'll give you my thoughts. Diesel will give you his and plenty more. One segment left of the Rob Brown Show. It's Rob and Diesel on ESPN Upstate.
Here's what's trending. Let's see what Rob knows about it. Topic number one, Revenge of the Sith.
Is that the official title? Do we have an official title?
No. It's celebrating 15 years of episode 3.
Oh, got it. Sorry, my brain is blanked. 15 years? Ugh. God. I still maintain the fact that 15 years. I still maintain that the recent three movies have not redeemed the prequels. It just made them look better by comparison. So they're not as bad as I thought they were. That being said, Diesel, more importantly, I need you to know that a Bill Dance clip just showed up on my Twitter feed, and I'm more excited about that than anything. But primarily because watch old Bill here who forgets there's a trailer hitch.
Doink.
Yeah,
ouch.
I've done that. That doesn't hurts. Feel good. Bill Danch just walked around the back of his old Chevy Z71, forgot that there was a trailer hitch on it, took it right to the old shin, and dropped everything he had and went right to the ground. How many hours of Bill Danch have you watched in your life?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. He used to come on like every Saturday and Sunday morning.
You are the next Bill Danch, Diesel. I just thought about that.
I wish.
You're the next Bill Danch. We got to get you like
I won't wear a Tennessee hat.
We got to get you like an old Appy State, but it's got to be like an old trucker hat that sits way up on top of your head, like one of those old Elmer Fudd style hats. We'll get you there.
All right, next up, this one's going to make you a little sad. Annie Glenn is trending.
See, when you say it's going to make me a little sad...
Yeah, John Glenn's widow.
Why? Right.
Passed away.
She passed away?
Of coronavirus.
John Glenn is a hero of mine. When I was, I don't know, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, somewhere in there, we all get to do a write a book report, and I got John Glenn. Read John Glenn's story. It is incredible. It is an incredible story. The man that John Glenn was, the life that he lived. John Glenn is definition of American hero.
Next up, Pier 1 is trending.
Did somebody buy something they regret? Are they
closing? No, they are liquidating all of their stores as soon as they can open them back up.
Wow. Pier 1 is going under the pier.
Remember when you were a kid? It felt fancy going to Pier 1.
You want a real-life story from your boy? I have never been in a Pier 1.
Really?
Never once. So Pier 1 struck me as like Target if you took all the food out, right? And yes, and Zoe casually points his own nose higher up in the air. The appeal of Pier 1 never got me. Like, granted, I didn't have any reason to, right? Like, I've whatever. I'm not super big into home decor because I'm never at home, right? Like, my house is relatively basic because I'm just hardly ever there. But Pier 1 never did anything for me.
Okay, let's see. What else is trending? Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber are trending together.
Mark is clearly controlling the algorithms on this on this Twitter feed. Clearly, Mark Ryan's in charge of the Twitter feed. So listen, the reason Ariana Grande is trending right now, Rob makes fun of Mark as he launches into a pop culture knowledge tirade, is because she has done a song with Lady Gaga that is about to get released. I don't know or care why Justin Bieber is trending at all.
That is not why Ariana Grande is trending.
Oh, what'd she do?
They're trending because both of them, there's allegations that they bought and paid for a number one spot on the Billboard charts.
That makes more sense. My understanding, though, is that both of these pop phenomenons were kind of made by daddy's money, right? Like, both of them got famous because they came from rich parents, both Bieber and Ariana. Also, remember a few years ago when Ariana Grande went into a donut store and started licking donuts because she thought it was funny? She would lick a donut and put it back. Ariana Grande is a terrible person, okay? She's just a terrible person. I don't know anything about Justin Bieber, so I have nothing. But if you are at all surprised or shocked that the pop charts are manipulated in any way, shape, or form, I don't know what to tell you because, of course, they are.
All right, let's see. What else is trending? There's a fun question. Would you take Reggie Miller or Klay Thompson?
I need two more years of top-tier play out of Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's on the verge of being better than Reggie Miller, but as of now, I would take Reggie Miller. Reggie guided some Pacers teams that were pretty good right up to the edge. Klay's always been a guy that I think has needed other people to kind of push him forward. If Klay Thompson has like two more years of top-tier play, I could see him surpassing Reggie Miller. But I'm leaning Reggie Miller at this point in time. This is one of those times where I do have to ask myself, is this honestly how I feel, or is just this me reacting to nostalgia, right? Because Reggie Miller was at the top of his game when I was a kid, and the reality of human nature is we always lean towards loving the things that were at their prime when we were at our prime, right? But I'm leaning Reggie Miller in that one, Diesel.
All right, you got time for one more. Game of Thrones is trending.
I'm still not over it. Okay. I invested myself, not just my time, I invested myself as a human being into all the stories that D&D was telling me, or that Game of Thrones was telling me. See where my nerd mind went straight to Dungeons & Dragons. Because I have told better stories in D&D than Game of Thrones told. It was so good. The first three seasons of Game of Thrones was the best television of all time. I stand by that.
Never saw it.
Even if you are not into the nerdy stuff, the first three seasons of Game of Thrones was the greatest television of all time, hands down, no questions for me.
Oh, I'm totally into nerdy stuff.
You'll love Game of Thrones. The thing. This is how bad seasons 7 and 8 were. As a Game of Thrones fan, I tell people, don't watch it. Don't watch it, because what's going to happen to you is what happened to me. You are going to get so fully invested to the core of your being, and then you are going to be heartbroken at the end. Mark Ryan's up next. He's interviewing the man who allegedly made Jordan's pizza, even though Jordan was just hungover, at 3:20. Stay around for that. It's the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate. See you tomorrow. Later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.